The epistle for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Brethren, such confidence we have through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient to think anything of ourselves as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also hath made us fit ministers of the New Testament, not in the letter, but in the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit quickeneth. Now, if the ministration of death engraven with letters upon stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which is made void, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather in glory? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of justice aboundeth in glory. The Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from that according to St. Luke, chapter 10. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things which you see, for I say to you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things that you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him, and saying, 'Master, what must I do to possess eternal life?' But he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' He answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said to him, 'Thou hast answered rightly. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who also stripped him, and having wounded him, went away, leaving him half dead. And it chanced that a certain priest went down the same way, and seeing him, passed by. In like manner also a Levite, when he was near the place, saw him, passed by. But a certain Samaritan, being on his journey, came near him, and seeing him, was moved with compassion, and going up to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him upon his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 pence, and gave to the host, and said, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou shalt spend over and above, I at my return will repay thee.' Which of these three, in thy opinion, was neighbor to him that fell among robbers?" But he said, "He that showed mercy to him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do thou in like manner." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. But a certain Samaritan was moved with compassion. He bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We can see in the parable in today's Gospel a history of the whole human race. Jerusalem represents the heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly kingdom which God came to establish, paradise. And this man that fell among robbers, we can see in him Adam. Adam, who left the heavenly Jerusalem, who fell among robbers, was robbed of the supernatural life, was robbed of grace, stripped of his preternatural gifts, and wounded in his very nature. He was left for dead, helpless. The Samaritan, of course, is Christ, who came into this world, Jericho. Jericho was a worldly city that was below, it was down in a valley below Jerusalem. And it was a worldly city, so it symbolizes the world. Our Lord came into this world to lead us back to the heavenly Jerusalem. So he was on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem. Christ came into the world again to restore us to that heavenly city, to that supernatural life. And the Samaritans, we know, were a mixed race. They were of mixed blood, and so they were despised by the Jews, just as Christ was despised in this life. But the Samaritan is Christ, and his beast of burden is his human nature, for it was with his human nature that he carried us to the inn, to the church, and where he placed him under the care of the keeper, who the fathers tell us is a symbol of the Pope. But before he carries him, he binds his wounds, pouring in wine and oil. The wine and oil, which are, of course, the symbols of the sacraments. Cornelius de Lapide, in his commentary on St. Luke's Gospel, says that this parable was very likely a historical event, and perhaps one of frequent occurrence. At least the part of the man falling among the robbers. For he said the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was a very dangerous one, for there were many caves and things where thieves and robbers would hide. And they often did kill their victims so that they could not be discovered. So this parable, it is one that happened frequently, and as it is the history of the human race, the history of redemption, so it is also the history of each soul. For we all are come into this world wounded. We all have defects. We all have faults. We are not all like a certain island of Indians in the southern seas. I guess not Indians, but a southern island where a missionary one day went to journey and he found there a few families. It was not a large island. There were a few inhabitants, but he took time. He instructed them in the faith. And he baptized them, and then he left, and he said that he would one day return to them. But it was 3 years before he was able to return to that island. He returned, and he found them still practicing their faith, still living Christian lives. And so he told them, prepare everything for Mass, for communion. And he said, but of course, you will want to go to confession first. And the Indian chief looked at him and said, why? Why would I want to go to confession? And he says, well, did you forget everything that I taught you? I thought, you know, you seem to be living good lives, but perhaps you've forgotten the instructions that I gave you on the sacrament of penance and its importance so that we can be forgiven the sins we commit after baptism. And he was horrified, and he said, how could I commit a sin again after having been washed in the blood of our Lord? No, we do not all have that gift, that strength that perhaps they had. And so, yes, we all have our faults. We all are in need of our Lord. We all are in need of a Savior. But yet, there's another lesson, of course, and I think perhaps it's the main lesson of today's parable, which is fraternal charity. How quick we are to condemn our neighbor for their faults, when we all have them. How little understanding we show to our neighbor. Do we truly love them as ourself? When we see our neighbor or a coworker, a family member, fallen among spiritual robbers, is our reaction compassion? Is our reaction understanding, help? Today's gospel is an opportunity to examine how much love of neighbor do I really have. I mentioned that Samaritans were a race. They were despised by the Jews. And for the most part, this animosity was returned. The Samaritans, in return, for the most part, despised the Jews. And we see this in another part of the gospel where our Lord is refused lodging by the Samaritans. We know the story of the Samaritan at the well, where he was brought in and stayed with them for 2 days, teaching them. They all received the faith. But that was because he was leaving Jerusalem and going elsewhere. Another time, our Lord was leaving the outskirts and heading towards Jerusalem, and the Samaritans refused him lodging because his face was as one going to Jerusalem. There was this natural dislike and distrust between the two races. But not the Samaritan in today's gospel. He knew in all likelihood that this Jew who was laying there dying, having been robbed, that he was one who probably would have despised him, that he had nothing to gain by helping him, but help him he does. And not only just taking him to help him, which is already, not only just taking him to the inn and leaving him with other Jews where they can care for their own, which already would have been something. You know, if the parable said only that the Samaritan found him and took him to an inn, well, already that's a lesson for us. That's already something that we can imitate. But he goes further. He does more than what is necessary. And this is where love shows itself. Going beyond, taking notice of little details and fulfilling them. That is a mark of love. You know, when someone loves another, they are constantly looking for what they can do for that person. Any little thing that they might do to show their affection. It's the little things, the little details that love is shown. You know, perhaps we don't offend against our neighbor. Perhaps we don't do things evil to them. Perhaps we're not unkind to them. But do we do these small little things? Do we take notice of their wants, of their needs, of their pains, of their sufferings? Between Jericho and Jerusalem, there was more than a day's journey. And so this Samaritan would have brought provisions. He would have provided for himself on this journey, taking the things that he needed. And so he deprives himself of the things he had brought for himself for the sake of this other. You know, the wine and oil that he brought for his journey, he uses to soothe the man's wounds, to take away the pain, to wash them clean, to prevent infection. The money which he had brought for his own lodging, he leaves for his neighbor that he may be cared for. And even going above and beyond this, that's all that he had brought with him. But on his return, he will bring more to cover any other expenses. Truly, this Samaritan shows love for his neighbor, leaving nothing undone and taking care of all the deep details, even depriving himself. St. Paul said that in preaching the gospel, he had no reward. St. Paul, of course, we know, traveled around preaching the gospel. But St. Paul said that it was not in this that his reward would consist. In fact, he said, it will be a woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. If he didn't do that, he would have been punished. But no, his reward was going to consist of the fact that he went above and beyond, that he went beyond just preaching the gospel, but he went and did it of himself. You know, he said that by rights, he could have made his living from preaching the gospel, putting himself upon a burden upon them, but that he did not do. No, he went above and beyond. It was his love. It was the love which he showed in preaching the gospel and his charity in doing so. That was where he hoped for his reward. We have to go beyond the bare minimum. We have to make sure that our charity, that our love does not grow cold, especially with those closest to us. Whereas we know charity begins at home. If our neighbor, if our brother, if our sister, if our spouse is in need, then let us try to soothe their wounds with the oil of kindness, to take away their pain with the wine of cheerfulness, to seek to put the other before ourself, to love our neighbor as ourself for the love of God. To seek, of course, God above all things, but we know that God created man in his image and likeness. Our neighbor, our family, they are the image of God. And just as we treasure a picture of one whom we love, so we should treasure our fellow man, treasuring our neighbor, loving them, seeking to do what we can for them, again, just because they are the image of God. We love God above all things, but I think it's St. John who says, if we do not love the neighbor whom we see, how can we say that we love God whom we don't see? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.